in the dirt. Santos has one wild pitch. Was that a balk? Looked like a balk off.
Look like a balk off. What did you just say to me? Balk off. Don't talk to me like that. Balk off. Ah, okay. All right. Now, enunciate a little better. Now I understand what you're saying. That's the second balk off. Don't talk to me that way. That's the second balk off in a little over a month for the Royals. A balk off. I hadn't seen that happen. It's happened twice in over a month for the Royals. That's two of their 44 wins.
Yeah.
10% of their wins are balk offs. Actually, it's 5%. That's significant, though. Let's hear from Matt Cachero on the balk off last night for the Royals to win their 44th game.
Prior to this year, I can only remember it two other times total, so definitely not in the same seasons. We had a feeling you're going to walk MJ. Ollie was struggling to get his stuff on, so he's barely in the box, and then that led to them not being ready, so worked to our advantage, even though it could have gone the other way. I didn't see the third base umpire call it, so I was coming out to say something to the home plate umpire because he didn't call it, so I was, then Hoove was grabbing me and telling me that they called it from third.
All right, so the Royals do get the win. They are now 44-96, so they haven't lost 100 yet, but it's coming. The Royals pick up their second win this season on a balk-off. They beat the White Sox 7-6 at the K last night. After three innings, they're down 6-0, and probably some people maybe even left or went to the bar. But anywho, Michael Massey, a 441-foot homer. Nelson Velasquez has 18 hits with the Royals, 8 are home runs. MJ Melendez a home run as well. And then Bobby Witt Jr. with the RBI double scored Darren Blanco to tie the game and the walk-off, and the Royals win by a final of 7-6. Jordan Lyles on the hill for the Boys in Blue tonight at 6:40 between the White Sox and the Royals. He is 4-15, won his last start, ERA is 6.29. Local sports, Dusty. Well, before I give it to Dusty, I did go and we had the video stream, live video stream, Beloit at Red Cloud Triangular in Nebraska. First time I've ever been to Red Cloud, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a cool old school ambiance to it, you know, the stage and everything else. There in the gym. It's pretty cool. The volleyball coach for Red Clouds was super, super nice and very, very helpful in me getting set up. And she could easily had pushed that to somebody else, but the AD was gone. He was at another sporting event, and she helped me out. So I really appreciate her. And so we were able to set up and had a great view. And then the boy volleyball team just absolutely rolled as it was expected. They beat Red Cloud 25-11, 25-17. Beat Repco 25-10 and 25-4. They're now 7-2 on the season, heading into a very tough Southeast Lean tournament where their bracket play. They got Smoky Valley and Hillsborough, and I forgot who the third one is. I sent that to you. But they play 9, 10, 11 coming up on Saturday. It's Smoky Valley, Hillsborough. Is it Concordia? I think it might be Concordia.
It is Concordia.
There you go. Eventually, my mind worked.
Yep.
Smoky Valley, Hillsborough, Concordia. As of now, we will not be streaming that tournament. We don't have the personnel to set up and move things because it goes from gym to gym and court to court for those matches. So, and it is a Saturday, so you got a better chance to get in on a Saturday, hopefully, to a tournament than you do, 4 o'clock. You have a triangular Red Cloud like we did last night when you're trying to work or you try to get off work early. Maybe you can't and you can't see your kids play or your grandkids play or whatever the case may be. So we'll have most of Beloit's volleyball matches on the live stream this year, and we'll have other tournaments on the video on the live stream. That's at least the plan. But it looks like Southeast Lean tournament, you'll just, if you want to watch Beloit play volleyball, you're going to have to go down and watch it. Which, hey, why not? Make a trip down there, have your Saturday free, watch a lot of volleyball, be a lot of great volleyball coming up on Saturday. So Beloit was 2-0 last night, but also Lakeside was 2-0, Dusty.
Yeah, Lakeside, Southern Cloud, they won both of their matches there, beating Southern Cloud, the host, 25-19 and 25-13, and then winning over Tescott 24-26, 25-16, 25-12 were the scores of those matches. Rock Hills Triangular, Osborne went 2-0 as they beat Rock Hills 26-24, 25-11, and then beat Thunder Ridge 25-21, 22-25, and 25-20. And then over Thunder Ridge, Rock Hills beat Thunder Ridge 17-25, 26-24, 25-22. St. John's Tipton had just the one match, but it was a best of five against Pike Valley, and they won 7-8-9 in those. St. John's Tipton's now 5-0 on the season with that win there yesterday at the Lincoln Triangular. Sylvan Lucas moved to 4-0. They beat Natoman 2, 6-13, and they beat Lincoln in 2, 11-19, and then Lincoln beat Natoman 2, 13-14 in the other match in Smith Center, 2-0 at Hoxie. They're now 4-0 on the season, winning Mid-Continent League matches against Hoxie 25-23 and 25-12. They beat Hill City 25-7, 25-8, and Concordia swept Marysville 2-0 and 2-1 were the set scores there. You can find complete scores for almost all the matches last night, still waiting on a couple from Stockton. You can find those scores at ncksports.com from high school volleyball last night. We do have high school football locker room chats coming up tonight. We want to remind everybody about as well. Another local note, we'll talk with the coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge this evening, beginning at around 5:15. So catch those on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. If you ever miss our locker room chats, you can go back and listen on the podcast, as you can the sports ticket as well, at katycountry94.com. So catch all the local sports here this week as we continue on locker room chats tomorrow. Game night and football on Friday as well.
All right. Before we talk about Travis Kelce and his injury yesterday, I want to share this news with you. Came across this yesterday on my social media feed. Former NFL quarterback Alex Smith, of course, played for the Chiefs for quite some time. He and his family are enduring a heart-wrenching journey, living life scan to scan after their daughter Sloane was diagnosed with a brain tumor last year. Smith played for the Niners, the Chiefs, the Commanders. He shared his distressing situation with the New York Times. Sloane, their daughter, and their only girl, now 7 years old, has faced the alarming challenges of her condition, including two seizures that shook her family to its core. Of course, Alex Smith fought a life-threatening on-field injury in 2018. He spoke about the helplessness he experienced when Sloane underwent an emergency craniotomy to remove the tumor. "It's different when it's your little girl," said Alex Smith, "and you're helpless with how terrifying that is." So there is an update, though, and there is some good news to pass along here. I was on Instagram, and the Smith family put it out. This is Sloane Kensington Smith. There's a picture of her. "Our baby, the youngest of three and our only girl. She is sweet, selfless, intelligent, hilarious, witty, fun-loving, an artist, a singer, and a dancing machine. But most of all, she is an incredibly strong girl that has a ton of fight in her." On May 10th, Sloane was rushed to the ER with stroke-like symptoms. She had an MRI, and doctors quickly informed us she had a large brain tumor and needed emergency surgery. "The 10-hour procedure was the most excruciating time of our lives. A clock has never moved so slowly. The incredible neurosurgeons did a miraculous job and were able to remove 100% of the tumor." And Sloane has bounced back, hasn't skipped a beat. "And after weeks of waiting on pathology, we learned that Sloane's tumor is a very rare malignant tumor with very few documented cases without a clear road map for treatment. We are currently awaiting more tests and gathering as many opinions as we can from doctors across the country to decide the best path forward. We wish this were easy, clear-cut, and someone gave us a how-to guide. It's anything but that. All we know is what is most important, and that's Sloane. She is healed from surgery, back to her bubbly self, singing, dancing, laughing, and feeling good." And so, you know, this isn't over though, obviously, based on what I just told you. That's a family that's going through tough times there, and no kid that young should have to deal with those things. And unfortunately, it happens a lot with various diseases or cancer. You know, St. Jude's, you hear about St. Jude's all the time, kids with cancer, and in this case, a brain tumor for a young girl. So, thoughts and prayers, and hopefully everything works out for Alex Smith and his family.
I like all those stories you see, it's hard for me to imagine somebody that age going through it. Like, even what I went through it at the age of 30, you know, there's kids that are going through 31. There's kids that are going through that at 4, 5, 6, you know, like, and all the kids that I've dealt with that have muscular dystrophy, and you see all these kids that have cancer, and it's like, I can't imagine it. And it's just, it's heartbreaking, to be honest.
It really is. And, and you know, that's the thing when you're a parent, you're it's out of your control.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I dealt with that, you know, in regards to my middle son being born and wasn't breathing initially. It's out of my hands, you know. Doctors hopefully do their thing, the staff do their thing, and then open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. It's 5 months later. Your kid's 5 months old and has open heart surgery. There's nothing I can do. I mean, it's completely out of my control. Yeah. I don't know how I hear the surgery's going to go fine. It should. They've done this before, but there's always complications. Mm-hmm. And when you're operating on a 5-month old, you know, you have your thoughts, you have those fears as a parent, and all you can do is, you know, hope, pray, wish for the best, and go from there. And, you know, in our situation, had the open heart surgery, and then, you know, should heal and be fine. And now he's 14 and he's in eighth grade and doing fine. In this situation, this could be, you know, obviously something that she's going to deal with for the rest of her life. And hopefully it's a long life, but the family and they're living scan to scan. Now that's, listen, I met so many amazing people, at Ronald McDonald House when we were there for a while in Kansas City, when my son was there for the first, two and a half weeks of his life. And then back there for a week for open heart surgery 5 months later. That was back in 2009. And just sitting in various doctor's rooms or waiting rooms and talking with other people, and you think your kid has it bad or you think you have a bad situation, there's always somebody that has it worse. And I remember talking, and I've said the story before, but it's been a while since I've shared it. But there was a dad and a mom that were in the room, and we were talking to them, and I think they're from Iowa. And they had a little one that was, I think, 3 or 4 years old and had a ton of exploratory surgeries trying to figure out what's wrong. And they were so upbeat and so positive. Mm-hmm. And they were going through way more than we were. They were more upbeat and positive than we were. And I'm just sitting there like, how do you do it? Like, I sat there, I'm like, how do those folks do that? They've got to be frustrated that they keep having these exploratory surgeries. They still don't have answers to their questions. Sometimes they think they do, and then they've told us that, you know, well, you know, they thought they were on to something, then they weren't. I can't imagine how frustrated they could be, but boy, they sure as heck didn't show it. So, you know, they were stronger than other people that couldn't handle it, so maybe that's why they were chosen to handle it, I guess.
There's people that believe that for sure too, and I can't imagine any of that, to be honest with you, even what you went through, right? Because I don't have kids, so it's just like, you know, you go through the things and the trials that you go through in life, and then you understand, like you said, I think there was never a time in my mind that I didn't realize that somebody had it worse, because I've seen it with my own two eyes. So it's, you know, those things that you, I guess, just have to go through in life, but. As we say, life's not fair, but it just doesn't seem fair. Like, yeah. None of that.
And this is not benign. It's malignant that their daughter has. So, man, that's what you go well think about, no doubt. All right. The Chiefs are getting ready to start their season coming up tomorrow night against the Detroit Lions. No Chris Jones. And now we'll see if Travis Kelce plays. His brother, Jason, thinks that Travis is going to play tomorrow night. I just listened to this. He thinks he's going to play. There's no structural damage. Kelce hyperextended his knee in practice yesterday. No ligament damage. There is inflammation. There's swelling. His availability is up in the air for tomorrow. And Kelce hasn't missed a game for injury since 2013, his rookie year. He's missed three games overall since, one in 2017, one in 2020 for rest purposes, and one in 2021 when he had COVID-19. I happened to go to that game. Mm-hmm. He didn't play against the Steelers, and the Chiefs were just fine without him. And I'm not saying they don't want him on the field. They do. Since 2018, when Mahomes took over as the Chiefs' full-time quarterback, Kelce's played nearly 200 offensive snaps more than any other skill position player in the National Football League. You know, and it's interesting because I've said this for the last 3 years. Every year I say it. And what do I say? You know, the Chiefs are due for a serious injury. Mm. Kelce's due with all the wear and tear on his body, his age, the mileage, and this proves it, 200 more offensive snaps than anybody else in the NFL. Eventually, wear and tear catches up to you. Eventually. You know, LeBron James is a freak of nature. He's avoided a catastrophic, horrible injury. Travis Kelce is one of those guys as well. He had an injury where he missed, what was it, all of his rookie year, I think. Mm-hmm. And then since then, he's been very healthy. So who's more important, Chris Jones or Travis Kelce? I crack up because I love when national guys know the Chiefs better than we do that know the Chiefs. But, Travis Kelce is more important than Chris Jones. First of all, who cares? Who really cares? They're both important. But yes, I would agree. Travis Kelce is probably a little bit more important than Chris Jones having him on the field because Travis Kelce is the security blanket on offense, right? The Chiefs have won games without Chris Jones. The Chiefs have won playoff games without Chris Jones, for crying out loud. They're up 24, down 24-0 in a playoff game. No Chris Jones. Didn't play a snap in that game against the Texans. Chiefs came back, scored 54, and won. Okay? I know what happened when Travis Kelce got a concussion in a playoff game against the Tennessee Titans. Granted, it was Alex Smith at quarterback. The Chiefs went from scoring 21 points in the first half to scoring zero in the second. Now, I know things are different then. Different quarterback, maybe obviously different weapons around. Not as many weapons maybe to play with compared to having Kelce. But all I know is in a playoff game, when Kelce left the game with a concussion, the Chiefs offense went kaput. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jones didn't play. Won. So, who's more important? Probably Kelce. I don't need a national person to tell me this. I already know this. Chiefs fans should know this, that the Chiefs have won games without Chris Jones. Yes, they won the regular season game when Kelce didn't play against the Steelers on Christmas Day a couple years ago when he had COVID. Yes, and Tyreek Hill had one catch. And what was it? Byron Pringle, I think, had a big day that day. Mm-hmm. Mahomes found other weapons. So then I see people like, I mean, Mina Kimes, I think, is very good on ESPN. I think she's one of the bright stars that ESPN has, and she knows her stuff. And I'm so tired of men giving her static because she's a woman. She knows more about football than a lot of men do. And she studies it, and she works hard at her job. And she probably has to work even harder to keep her job, right? And she's very good at what she does. And I love how she can throw stuff back at people. Her comebacks are great on social media. She puts people in their place. But she'd said something, and I know she's kind of, it's hyperbole, and she's trying to build it up a little bit. So, and I know she's got a sense of humor. But if you take it at for what it is, what she puts out there, you know, if Mahomes can win Thursday night with Chris Jones and Travis Kelce and people like Sky Moore and Noah Gray, then that's it. He's just like, he's on a whole new stratosphere than everybody else. He already is for me.
Mm-hmm.
He already is for me. And so that's going to build to the legend of Patrick Mahomes. If Travis Kelce plays tomorrow night, great. If he's good to go, he doesn't put himself in danger of missing more games, I'm all for it. If he doesn't play tomorrow night, I'm all for it. Not that I want him not to play, but I've said this. I've been preaching this for 3 to 4 weeks now. The Jacksonville game is way more important than Detroit. Jacksonville's on the road. It's a conference opponent. It's a team they might have to deal with when it comes to seeding time at the end of the year. Jacksonville's going to probably win their division. If the Chiefs win their division, which they usually do, they won 7 in a row. Chiefs and Jacksonville both win their divisions. A head-to-head matchup, a win in Jacksonville for the Chiefs could give them the advantage of home field for a couple of games instead of one. Or if they lose, it could be Jacksonville the edge. So that one's important. Detroit, that's not a tiebreaker. It's an NFC team. Yes, if you lose to Detroit and then you end up being a game behind the Jaguars at the end of the year, okay, that loss hurts you. I get that. But the conference games are more important. Divisional games are even more important. It's like two wins at once when you win a divisional game. And if you go head-to-head, that's like two wins. So the Jacksonville game is 10 days after the Lions game tomorrow night. So you have 10 days, and I've also said this, that Chris Jones, I think, I know we've revised our predictions a few times, but my prediction is that Chris Jones will be back for the Jacksonville game. Now, I could be wrong about this, definitely could be wrong about it. The Chiefs might let this play out and say, you know what, Chris Jones, keep losing your money, and we'll see, we'll just go with what we gave you, a fair offer. And if you want to sit out all the way to week 8, fine. Cost yourself $13 million, whatever it's going to be, overall with your fines and per game checks. And then we'll just franchise tag you next year because you signed a contract. You're getting $19.5 million a year. You choose not to get paid that by sitting out games. Okay, fine. We'll play hardball. And the Chiefs might do that. But I still think he'll be back for Jacksonville. But back to Travis Kelce. Listen, if he don't play tomorrow night, I'm cool because I want him ready to go near as 100% as he can at Jacksonville. That is a gigantic game for the Chiefs. And I know it's important to Chiefs fans, the season opener and the hoopla of kicking off the season, the first game of the year of the NFL, I think it was, on NBC tomorrow night?
Yeah.
The rings, the ceremony, the banner, and everything else. I get all the hoopla. And you're going to have that whether anybody plays or not tomorrow night. And I have no doubt in my mind, and I may be dead wrong, but the Chiefs have a guy named Patrick Mahomes that, as far as I know, on one leg can still win playoff games in a Super Bowl. So I'm not going to sweat this one tomorrow night. They're at home. Doesn't guarantee you everything, but they're at home. The Chiefs have bulletin board material already. People saying the Lions are this chic and up-and-coming team. The Lions started last year 1-6, I believe it was, or 1-7. They ended strong, almost made the playoffs. Talented team. Does Jared Goff strike fear of God into you? No. You know, I don't even remember. They got a rookie running back from Alabama. I mean, they probably can run the ball a little bit. Their defense was really bad last year. Horrible the first eight games. Towards the end, when their defense got corrected and played better, that's when they started winning. They haven't seen an offense like the Chiefs. And you're like, well, wait a minute. If there's no Travis Kelce, this offense is completely different. I don't think it's completely different. I think it's different. I think the Chiefs may have to run the ball a little bit more, which I'm okay with that. You got Pacheco, McKinnon, Hilaire. I mean, you got options there. Short passing game, screens, maybe a few more screens because they're going to want to pin their ears back and get the Mahomes. Listen, I don't think Detroit's defense is all that. I know Aiden Hutchinson's a really good pass rusher. My point is this. Why is everybody acting like everything's against the Chiefs tomorrow night? Because it's not.
No.
The Chiefs without Chris Jones and Travis Kelce are still 5-point favorites tomorrow night. It was 6.5 without Chris Jones. It would be 6.5 with Chris Jones. It's 5 now because Kelce's questionable. But the Chiefs don't have to have Travis Kelce or Chris Jones to win one football game. Do they need those guys to win a Super Bowl? Well, they need at least one of them, in my opinion, and maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't need either one, in my opinion, to win tomorrow night. And I think, it's almost like people are building this up to make this like this amazing accomplishment for the Chiefs to beat the Lions, yeah, a non-playoff team on a Thursday night at home when they're the defending champions. People are almost building this up to like add to the Mahomes legacy, and it's all fabricated. The Chiefs, let me repeat, are still 5-point favorites without Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. What does that tell you? Use your big brain, everyone. Use your big brain, not your little brain. Use the big brain, because I'm trying to use my big one here. So you're saying that if the Chiefs had Chris Jones and Travis Kelce, they're way better than the Lions. Without them, they're still 5-point favorites. Tell me again why I'm supposed to be scared of the Lions. Without two of the best players on the team, they're still favored to win. Why am I scared of the Lions? Why am everybody freaking out? Because the Lions got hot late last year. That don't mean nothing right now. That don't mean nothing tomorrow night. They haven't seen an offense like the Chiefs. They haven't. Not under Dan Campbell. A few years ago, the Chiefs played in Detroit. Chiefs struggled. Didn't play well. Don't think they were focused. Came back and won. All right? On a final drive by guess who? Number 15, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is going to look at this and go, all right, you think we can't win without 87? Well, guess what? In a few years, I ain't going to have him anyway. I'm going to have to win without 87 in the future because I'm younger than him.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce isn't going to play till he's 40. Just doesn't happen at tight end. So he might only have a year or two left on the tires, if that, maybe three. So you're going to have to win eventually without Travis Kelce. You're going to have to find another tight end to slide in. Maybe Noah Gray's going to have a big game tomorrow night. Who knows? They got Sky Moore. They got Scantling. Justin Ross may have a bigger impact tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. Rashee Rice. The Chiefs still have weapons. They've got one of the best offensive lines in football. They got the best coach in football right now. They got the best offensive mind in football. They got the best quarterback in football. So without Travis Kelce and Chris Jones, let's not sit here and act like the Chiefs are pulling off the greatest upset since Namath and the Jets beat the Colts. This is not what is happening tomorrow night. This is a Chiefs team that is clearly better than Lions without Travis Kelce and Chris Jones on paper. Now, I know they still got to go out and win. And, oh, well, there's something else I want to mention. Patrick Mahomes, isn't this right? He's never lost a game in September?
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure that's right. Pretty sure that's right. Because the Colts game was that. Was that October?
I think that was because I was like, I think he did lose one. And I think it was the Colts game last year because he had that the start of it was just outstanding, right? Like
he's 13-3 in September.
Okay.
13-3, so he's pretty good in September. I'm going to see here.
He's not lost season opener. I know that.
He was 11-0 in September games to start his career. So that's what I'm thinking about. He also had no interceptions. He had 35 touchdowns, no interceptions the month of September. So it takes a little luster off my boast there. But still, they're 13-3 in September. They start out well. They've had plenty of time to prepare for the Lions. The Chiefs, when they have extra time to prepare, usually do extremely well, especially Andy Reid. So I'm just sitting here laughing at everybody freaking out. I am enjoying the freak out. I'm enjoying the national media going, okay, well, now I look even smarter. that I picked the Lions to win this game. Well, the Chiefs are on upset alert. Every week is upset alert. The Chiefs are the hunted. They're the defending champs. Every week they could be upset. They'll be the favorite in almost every single game this year. Even the Bengals and Bills, right now at home, they'd be favored.
Yeah.
That's the best teams on their schedule. So tell me again, of course they're on upset alert. They're going to get upset at some point this year. I guarantee it. Because they're going to be favored in every game, yeah, more than likely, unless they have a whole bunch of injuries. So please tell me why I should be worried about tomorrow night. Like, I get it. The Lions are a decent team. They're not great. They're a decent team, a good team. If the Chiefs don't play well, can they lose tomorrow? Of course they can. Have they lost at Arrowhead before? Of course they have. Is Mahomes perfect? Of course he isn't. But listen, you take away Kelce and Jones, that's two big losses. But the Chiefs have proven they can win games without Chris Jones, and they've proven they can win games without Travis Kelce at Arrowhead against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, by the way, aren't a horrible team. They were, honestly, at that time, they were a 500-type team, and that's what the Lions were last year, 9-8. Everybody acts like the Lions went 12-5. I swear to God, every single thing I read, it acts like the Lions are like made it to the NFC Championship game and they're a step away from winning it all. Like, no, this is all fabricated. They're a nice story. I like the Lions. I cheer for the Lions. I was hoping they'd make the playoffs last year. I thought they were going to be a little more dangerous than the Seahawks would have been. But at the end of the day, it's the first game of the year, and Andy Reid has all this time to prepare for the Detroit Lions. You don't think the Chiefs already are preparing for the Lions before the last preseason game? Of course they were.
Yeah.
They still have weapons. And when Travis Kelce retires or ends his career with somebody else, the Chiefs will have somebody to replace him. Might not be as good, but they'll have a hope. If they can replace Tyreek Hill, they can replace Travis Kelce. I know that's blasphemy to some of you, but they will eventually have to replace Travis Kelce. There will be a moment in time when Patrick Mahomes will not have Travis Kelce on the team. He will not have a teammate named Travis Kelce anymore. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, unless Mahomes has a horrible injury and he retires first. It's going to happen that Kelce's going to be done, more than likely in a few years. So this gives us a chance to see some of these younger receivers. And this is, and honestly, it could be a blessing in disguise, because it's going to make guys like Justin Ross, Rashee Rice, and in particular Sky Moore step up. And they do get Kadarius Toney is back. He's going to play tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long he goes until he gets hurt, I have no idea. Okay, they got Legarius Sneed back on defense. That'll help a little bit maybe with the absence of Chris Jones, just because maybe they got, you know, that experience in the secondary. So, do I think the Chiefs' defense is going to play great tomorrow night? No, I don't. Do I think the Chiefs are going to blow out the Lions? Oh, I think there's a chance they could. I don't predict it. I think it's going to be a 7-10-point game. But I don't. I'm not buying. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid that everybody's shoving down my throat. I don't care if Kelce and Jones don't play tomorrow night. And I think, honestly, I think Kelsey's still going to make a go of it. He's going to play some, or he'll just be a decoy. And even him as a decoy, it benefits the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. I don't know. You know, I have no reason to think that other than it's inflammation. There's nothing structural. There's no tears. And you can take care of that, right? With certain – there's ways to take care of inflammation for NFL football players. Let's just put it that way.
They miraculously are good to play in various games.
Yeah, if you feel like this is something that may hurt him down the line to play, then don't play him. But right. I don't think that's going to be the case. And I think Travis Kelce is going to do his most to play tomorrow night. And when it comes down to it, I think he'll be out there. But no, I can sit here and say that I think that, and I did, you know, when we were talking, when you were asking who I think maybe sleepers are, I can sit here and say the Lions are a sleeper to make a run in the playoffs, right? To do something in the playoffs. But that doesn't mean that I'm scared of the Lions tomorrow night, because my team just won the Super Bowl.
But see,
like, this team won a Super Bowl. Like, you're on two different levels here.
Right,
like,
exactly.
You've already done it.
One team's not even been to the playoffs.
You've hit the peak twice in the last 5 years, right?
You've been to the Super Bowl three times.
And so it's like, or twice in the last 4 years, actually. You've won it and been there three in the last four. And it's like, listen, I can think this team's going to make a good run this year that they're playing, but we've been there.
Yes.
And so it's like, why would you be worried about some team that hasn't made the run yet when you've already done it twice?
And we're
like,
at home.
Yeah, and you're at home to start the season.
To kick off the year. Yeah, if this is week five,
yeah,
where the Chiefs are 3-1 or 4-0, you know what I'm saying? Monotony of the season.
Well,
and the Lions had some games under their belts, and we're feeling
more confident in what they were
The Chiefs are going to be jacked because they want to go back-to-back. The atmosphere, they're going to be so jacked. I mean, that nobody's even playing that into the cards.
No, they're not. That's my point. Is like you're talking about a team that's been here before, and they're not going to be scared of losing one or two guys going into a game, like of a team that didn't even make the playoffs last year. So it's like you're barking up the wrong tree if you think the Chiefs are just going to lay down because they don't have two people in their lineup that. Yeah, are they important? Yeah, if I'm talking about hitting that third Super Bowl in 5 years and making the fourth and five, whatever, making it to the game, it's like, yeah, they need those guys to do that. I think if you think they're going to win another Super Bowl, you want definitely Kelce.
You're going to need one of them, if not both.
I would like to have them both, and it's like, but for one game to start the season when everybody's juiced and jacked and ready to go, and you've got all the chips in your hand. No, I'm not worried about one game against the Lions.
I'm really not either. I'm not. And by the way, you know, you say the Lions and the sleeper, and I understand what you're saying, but to me, when everybody's on that sleeper bandwagon, are you a sleeper? Like, I swear, like, there are so many people in this country that are covering football. They're talking about the Lions being this big sleeper. They finished 9-8. They if they didn't have a horrible start the last year, they would have been in the playoffs. And everybody talks about a sleeper. It's like, now everybody was talking about them at the end of last year, that they're hottest team in football towards the end of the year and everything else. So I don't even know if I constitute them as a sleeper because there's so many people. Like, to me, the sleeper is somebody picking something that nobody else is really picking. You know, somebody's under the weeds. The Lions are not under the weeds. The Lions are like, there are people actually picking the Lions to upset the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Like, they think the Lions, there are some people saying the Lions are better than the Chiefs when the Chiefs don't have Kelce and Jones, which is ludicrous. So, but the Lions, are they an ascending team? Could they make the playoffs this year? And could they win their division? Yeah, they could. Something tells me they're not going to. Something tells me there's so much expectations on a franchise that's not used to having any. That the Detroit Lions, everybody don't even think about the Vikings. There are people saying, well, the Lions are going to win the division. The Vikings were 13 wins last year. I mean, what are they, chopped liver? And Green Bay, I think, is going to be better than people think with Jordan Love. And the Bears should be improved. So we're sitting here just like handing the division to the Lions. What the hell have they ever won? They never won anything.
No.
Nothing. Yeah, they've been to the NFC title game one time, I think, with Barry Sanders. One time.
Yeah.
They haven't done anything. So... And if they win tomorrow night, that will be their Super Bowl. In fact, I go on to say that if they win tomorrow night, I'd almost guarantee you they're not going to make the playoffs because they're going to feel great and warm and fuzzy. Oh, we beat the Chiefs, and that'll be their Super Bowl. And for a whole bunch of teams that aren't that great that beat the Kansas City Chiefs, that's their Super Bowl. How many times do you see a team beat the Chiefs and then lose the next week? Happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh, and the Chiefs are just like, yeah, you know, we'll just bounce back. That's what we do. So, but I think the Chiefs are going to win tomorrow night. Kelce or no Kelce, I think they're going to be fine. But that's why we play the games. More about that one tomorrow night. We'll preview it. 6 o'clock pregame kickoff, 7:20 Chiefs Lions on Z96.3 Lake. U.S. Open quarterfinals.
Yeah, let me play.
Coco Gauff. Coco rolled.
She was on fire.
She almost
yesterday. Lost
her first round match, and now she's on fire.
Yeah, she's on fire and looking really good on the women's side. And also, Karolina Machova won. Men's singles, Novak Djokovic beat Taylor Fritz, the American. Yeah, it wasn't even close. And then Ben Shelton beating Francis Tiafoe, the number 10 seed, last night in four.
Ben Shelton's only 20.
I'm happy.
First year on the tour.
I'm happy for Ben Shelton, but he's going to get annihilated.
Yeah, because then he take on
he
Novak.
He plays Novak next. I was wanting Tiafoe because I want an American in the final. Yeah. I think Tiafoe's a better.
I agree with you.
A better chance to beat Novak than Ben Shelton does.
Yeah, it's going to be Alcaraz and Djokovic again.
Yeah, it is.
That'll be a heck of a final. No doubt about that. All right, quarterfinals to continue today at Flushing Meadows there. Top 25 college football poll. Georgia's number one. No surprise there. Michigan 2, Alabama 3. Florida State jumps from 8 to 4 after crushing LSU. Ohio State is 5. USC 6. Penn State stays at 7. Washington 8. Tennessee 9. Notre Dame 10. No Big 12 team is in the top 10. Texas at 11. Then they're going to be at number 3, Alabama, this week. Utah 12, Oregon 13, LSU drops from 5 to 14, K-State moves up a spot to 15, Oregon State 16, North Carolina 17, Oklahoma moves up a couple spots to 18, Wisconsin 19, Ole Miss 20, Duke is 21, I'll come back to 22 in a moment, 23 is A&M, 24 Tulane, and Clemson goes from 9 to 25, and I'm sorry, Clemson shouldn't even be ranked, but whatever, 9 to 25, they're barely in. The team at number 22 is the Colorado Buffaloes. You may have heard of their head coach, Deion Sanders. Well, guess what? Colorado, Nebraska play this weekend. It's in Boulder. Would you like to go to that game? Should be interesting. Matt Rhule.
It'd be an interesting game, yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to go?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Okay. Got some extra change?
I do not.
Well, then you're not. Then you're not going.
I'm not going.
You're not going. Yeah. Right now, according to cheapest tickets on the secondary market for the primetime game on Saturday night, Colorado hosting Nebraska, Deion Sanders versus Matt Rhule. Huskers blew a game. They're 0-1, and Colorado is 1-0. The cheapest tickets, roughly right now for Colorado Nebraska. A team that went 1-11 last year, Colorado, and a Nebraska team that went, what, 4-8 or 3-9, whatever it was?
Yeah.
$400 is the cheapest ticket for Boulder coming up Saturday night. So I'll be watching. I'll be watching.
I might be home by then, so I'll either be watching or it'll be on my DVR, and I'll pick it up when I get home.
I got a feeling it might be a shootout.
Yeah.
I'm picking Colorado to win, though.
I think there's like some people are like, I think Colorado can beat Nebraska. I was like, well, if they beat TCU, I think they
How
can
is
beat
Nebraska,
Nebraska
favored?
I have no idea.
I don't get
I
that.
I don't get that at all.
No. I mean, Jeff Sims seems to be a turnover machine, and the Sanders kid, he's way better as a quarterback athletically and everything else. I mean, Sims is not a bad player, but I don't think Nebraska has enough firepower to hang with those guys, but we shall see.
I mean, it would just be a complete comeback down to earth day for Colorado.
Colorado lost to Nebraska.
It's like, I don't get it. Like, I can't see them losing the game.
And that's crazy. They're 1-11.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that just tells you how far Nebraska has fallen.
Yeah.
Isn't it?